Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do
If I had $1 million.
Well, welcome back to Dice and Jacks. I'm always Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Stephanie Koenig in today. We have all kinds of people. Fari going to call in early with a little bit of a intellectual nugget because he's not going to be on Thursday because it's a holiday. We have our normal group and stuff. Who's our guest? As soon as Steph gets her stuff together, she'll... Are you with us, Steph?
Yep, I'm here.
Who's our guest at 7?
We have got a wonderful gentleman named Devon.
And he's going to talk about high-tech farming. I'm fascinated by this.
Yes.
He's like Cher, where he has one name.
And maybe we could get him we do a high-tech snow shovel. We can get rid of Nate, huh, Manny? We just have the satellite guy, the snow shovel?
I don't think Nate would like that.
No, but who knows? You know what? Nate would pile into it so he didn't have to lift the shovel. He'd be all over it.
As long as he could run it, yeah.
Yeah. So what are we liking about this? S&P's down 22 and the Dow down 188, Steph. NASDAQ down 79. Ouch, huh?
Yeah, I know. We're having a crashing morning.
Yeah, it's yesterday was lousy, and then we came flying back near the close, and then turn around again. And to me, it's a interesting adjustment. And I don't know, Steph. I've talked to some people who want to start looking at hedging some of their stuff, which may be too late, but not really too late. You need to set yourself up no matter what, because you can imagine I've been busy talking to potential clients. But it's amazing how many people are willing to sit there and say, well, you know, I made this money on the way up. I just have to stick with it on the way down. It's my strategy, and I'm, like, sticking to it. And I'm like, there's nothing that says when you're up $500 in the blackjack table and they change dealers, you don't owe the table anything.
Right.
If you lose the first two hands of the new dealer and the luck changes, get up and go. There's nothing that says you owe the strategy, you owe the system anything.
No, and you know, this week, especially with a lot of people gone, I think we're going to have higher volatility, and you know, that usually lends itself to the market, you know, to having the ability or taking the chance to run lower. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens over this long. We've got a long holiday week, and then next week when everyone comes back just before the holidays, I think we got the option to have things kind of come back up. One more time before everyone concludes. They've done what they needed to do for the year, and they, you know, it's time to start celebrating the holidays.
Well, I don't, they had an interesting, Jan and Pete were, on this, lunch thing. They had the guests, they had, oh God. Steph's close enough to throw something at me. Very attractive blonde lady from someplace, and they were...
Not that you noticed.
Staff to say that she was strident about their story. And they were a fund, and they were, their shtick is that they get 30 stocks with great management, great cash flow, great, you know, blah, 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 right? And it based on people's, view of the economy was doing great, and people's sentiment's terrific. She was absolutely convinced that if her 30 stocks took a hit, it's only because investors were the stupidest people on earth, because everybody knows these stocks are only going straight up for the next 3 years, and anybody who sold them was basically a moron. And I'm thinking, wow. There's somebody, every single time, I wish I had that kind of an ego.
Well, yeah.
Every single time I bought a stock, I was a smart one, and the person who sold it to me was the dummy.
I'm always surprised about you know, exactly how adamant people can be about these things now. I mean, there's something to be said about knowing the fundamentals and understanding, you know, what you believe the market should value things at. But still, that's no guarantee that, that things are going to come in line with what your, with what the numbers say. So it's always a very amusing to me when you get those people that are just dead on, you know, absolutely, I don't know, I guess the point is that they can't see anything but what they truly believe.
You know, you, one thing you can tell, and this is not taking a shot at somebody, but the people she was on the desk with, Dr. J and Pete and a couple other guys, you could tell she had never been a trader. Because if you think some stock is way overpriced or way underpriced, and you, like, buy it at 10 o'clock, if you think people are going to come around to your way of thinking, like, by noon or something, I mean you may, in fact, be right, but you might be a year ahead. I mean, the thought that by the close, this thing should be up because everybody's going to realize what you just realized. Boy, oh, boy, I wish I had an ego like that. I mean, I don't. I mean, or let's say it was slapped out of me as a trader. Let's put it that way, if I ever did. But I mean, there is so much stuff going on, Steph, that you could make an argument, bullishness, bearishness. The one thing that I will say that is you can't really debate, and yet people will, is if interest rates creep up even a little bit, some of the stocks that were priced to the moon, people are not gonna wait for them. They're just too much money. You can't do that. It's like the person I was telling you about last night, where the people who bought the three flat in Brooklyn for $3.5 million, and their revenue is $150 million. Well,
right.
There's nothing to fall back on.
I mean, no.
If you all of a sudden have to sell that, and you get a 2.75 bid, and the guy goes, "Well, what do you mean? It's got to be 3.5. Why? Because you paid for it, you moron."
Right. Right.
And I mean,
right.
There's no backing to that number. I mean, maybe 10 years from now, if a couple other places go to New York and the rent is $9,000 a month, you can say, "I want 3.7 for this place." Maybe. You know, but until then, I mean, someone's going to say, "You paid what?" I mean, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's one of, but people, you.
But the amount of people that make $9,000 a month is, you're limiting. I mean, even if, let's say, we go to inflation,
yeah,
you know, people's salaries start climbing through the roof. Still, that's a big jump to make those numbers.
Oh God, yeah, especially if we're talking about a one bedroom.
Yeah. Oh gosh,
yeah.
That's it. I didn't realize
one bedroom, $4,000. You guys pay it. Him and he and his wife.
Hey, you know, I'm having lived in New York on and off for my life. That's a lot of money for a one bedroom.
Yeah, and I don't think it was. I don't think it was 1,000 square feet. It was like
no. And it's not like, you know, it's not like the Trumps where you got a gold plated toilet.
No, by the way, would you want one of those? I'm not so sure.
No, I don't think so. You know,
plated or sprayed. I mean.
Well, I think only the best there, so probably it's plated for him, but sprayed would probably be more up my financial.
Yeah,
financial.
Well, you know what's sort of odd, and I look at this. I mean, I have people come on the show that are, let's put it this way, nuttier than me. People like Carl and Wayne and people like that actually look at some of these numbers, and everybody is really roasting the Fed here for going back to anywhere near normal. And my question is why, Steph? I mean, they probably, and I've, the one thing, I've always probably said a few things on the show that I thought were always, I'm not the Pope. What does the Pope, he speaks like once every century from Peter's chair, and when he says that, he's always right? Something like that. But they never do it.
I'm not up on his.
Well, but they never do it. So, I'm saying that the thing that, I'm going to say one time that the thing that I learned about in school and so forth and have stayed steady on is when the Fed goes overboard putting money into the market, they should never ever do that, because when they pull it out, the pain is worse than the good feeling was on the way in.
Oh, for sure.
And so they should never make that mistake. And they do it all the time and did it again this time. And the weird part is I remember, no other than Milton Friedman in one class saying, the problem with inflation is the first pieces of it. I think he actually said, it's like the first beer in the party. It's so good that all of a sudden everybody gets to raise prices a little bit, and they have a couple of good quarters, and everything is fine, and all of a sudden, but then it goes a little too high, and all of a sudden people can't keep up with it, and you got a problem. But if you could just keep it at the beginning stages, If you could keep everybody in the bar having two beers, everybody would be happy. But that's not the way it works, right? Everybody's got to have 12 and get trashed. And
well, the problem, too, is I think they get into, I mean, even though the Fed's supposed to be non-political, I think they get into, you know, they've put money in, and then the question is, when can they stop and not look like they're trying to influence politics? So I think they also get into that situation. But, you know, I am not an economist by any means, but I do think it's way overdue that they are raising interest rates. I recognize that a lot of economists think that now using interest rates to lower and whatever have little impact on the market, but I'll tell you, the public sentiment, it does have a play with that.
Sure.
And so at this point, we've been in, you know, a bull market for, what, 8 years at least?
Yeah.
We need to recognize that it can't go on forever and give ourselves at least a little bit of cushion to have some things in our back pocket.
Well, without castigating our fine Oval Office, what we found out in the last 2 years is you sometimes can't confuse the party line with truth.
Well,
you know, and when you talk about a Fed, the idea that going from the whole thing when you go from 2.2% down to 0.5% stuff is, first of all, people like me would say, why are you doing that? And 2 is already pretty expansionary, and money supply is growing 5 or 6 or 7. The economy's growing too. That's damn near enough. And what are you doing? I mean, the idea that you know, the last 4 cases of beer into the party are really good for people is, you know, I'm not so sure that's a good argument. But the last, to mop this up, to go back to a 2% or 2.5%, you're not, the people, it's not like you made the banks drop credit card rates down to 12.
No.
They're still charging 24 or 18. So it's not like they did anything to anybody, you know. So my point is that you look at people now, how many people a week, if you watch the financial press, will say it's time for fiscal stimulus. The Fed has been carrying it on their own for 8 years. How many times have you heard that? Like 1,000?
Well, yeah, a lot. I mean,
well, the fact is, in the last 9 years, I'm going to say we've fiscal stimulus has been $10 trillion. How much? I mean, there are people that will tell you there has been none. Yet the federal government has spent, if you listen to Carl, it's more like 14, 10 to 14 trillion dollars that they didn't have. And yet there will be people who are intelligent people that will tell you, well, there's been no fiscal stimulus. What are you talking about? What are you smoking? The crinkly cigarettes? How could? Well, it's not. It's the idea is you didn't spend it on what I wanted you to spend it on. Therefore, it's not stimulus. If you spend more than you take in, Steph, I got news for you. It's stimulus. I mean, if you open up a suitcase of state in Madison, $100 bills, and let them drop, that's stimulus.
Well,
right. I mean, Fari, how are you? A quick hit. We get to hit Fari. Whack whack.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you, Fari?
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
How are you?
What's the scoop here? A holiday weekend, we're going to the crapo. At least looks like it.
Well, here's, I want to make sure. Well, we talked on Friday in the impromptu after my regular Thursday interviews with you, and where I come from, I don't want to take credit for something that's not due. We talked about that on Friday, a potential setup for a big drop on Monday, but there was a couple of conditions there. I want to go over that with your audience. None of those conditions were met. So yesterday was a lucky trade, and it was really caused by Apple cutback, and again bringing techs into view. Or, you know, what are we doing here with the techs? Maybe, as I said, just sell the Silicon Valley to China, get some of our bonds back. You know, the whole thing, just cut it off, carve it up, ship it. It's a left coast anyway, and get some of our bonds back. I mean, I'm still a conservative Republican. So here was the condition we were looking for: a down day on Friday. Remember, this is Friday morning, you and I talking. Down there on Friday, and a Mueller coming in with an indictment of one of these three guys, or two out of three, Stone, Jared, Don Jr., let's say late Friday, or hopefully actually after close. So it would be a second condition, because if it's before the close, then maybe I could push the close that low. None of those happened. So yesterday, and I had a fury of the emails and DMs and hedge funds calling saying, what a great call, what's going to happen next, tell me what's going on. I said, hold it. Hey, I'll take credit when it's due. This is, read the email, look at the interview. I send you the MP3 of our conversation that Matt puts together off of your stream out there saying, hey, this, go there, look at this time, see what's going on. I'm going to say the same thing today. I'm going to give you a timeline. They go at 7:15 NYSC time. Look at my 5 minutes there or 3 minutes or whatever. I don't want to take credit for Drop Monday. That means what? The drop I'm talking about hasn't come yet. And what I was looking for, 100 points on the S&P.
Yeah, but you got a little bit of help.
If you look at the charts here carefully, you'll see that we still are not. Now, I know we're down about 200 points right now, roughly on the YM. Dow futures. We still in that setup for chart wise, and we're not oversold. We're somewhat, we're weak. Okay, and we're seeing more weakness this morning. And Mueller hasn't done anything yet. Now, let's talk about the probability cone of what Mueller could do. Could he hit today? Yes, maybe, but I don't think he'll do it tomorrow. He won't do Friday. Why? It's just the way he is. You got to understand this guy. I've researched him. He won't do that. So I'll be very surprised if he does anything tomorrow night or Friday. So, and then on the Monday, which is the 26th, and this is a conundrum. On 26th, he's got the status conference on Matterport, which would be a preset to get together to say, hey, George, we're ready to send us this guy a month hence, a month forward, and or 2 or 3 weeks hence forward. And so I'm puzzled. So I'm going to be very careful to watch what's going to happen after the close today.
What do you mean puzzled? You got your buddy Mike Pence helped you out.
Oh, first of all, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Start thinking about President Pence and what he's going to do. If you go back in history, you could see he's going to be a caretaker. He would be no better than Gerald Ford. He would get rid of the trade wars. The market would actually firm up and rally. But before that, we're going to have a couple of very tough days marked by 1,000-point drops on the Dow. That would flush out all this excess.
Why do you say he was going
to... By the way, that would be near October, in my opinion. If you look at the chart, put up a weekly chart and walk back. Okay? Put it on your screen, walk back. Don't sit in front of a chart.
He was
like a weekly or monthly. We would be at or near... October 16 prices. So I'm thinking about 16,000 to 18,000 on the Dow. At that point is where Grampino says, you know what? This was fun, but this isn't really fun. I just want to hang out with some blondes. Forget I'm Putin and so forth. What is this crap for? I don't understand it anyway. He doesn't have time to study. He doesn't want to study. He talks about booming the floors. And, he's somewhere else. He can't even get the name of a city right. It is, who was it called him a moron? It's absolutely right. We've seen that. If you read the book Fear, everything in that book, you don't even need to verify the sources of that book. They're all coming through. If you look at it, so that means the other people were inside the beltway.
Why do you, wait a second. Why do you think?
Things, all of them, every single one is coming through in real life.
Why do you think that?
We're done. How people like me got duped for this con man is beyond me.
Fire's interesting sort of stuff because he's a rack Republican and he thinks Trump has ruined his party. He's not like a liberal that doesn't like the guy. He's a conservative that doesn't like him.
Which is you're a unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, of course. No. I'm a diehard Reagan Republican. Listen, yeah. I work on a B-2. I work on a B-2 bomber and F-18. I don't want to say who doesn't respect the military. He doesn't go to cemetery on Veterans Day. And he says McCraven should have done this earlier. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm only taking down some of them.
But stop. You don't even know what you're talking
about.
Why
do you say that?
I wrote on Twitter last night, I said, you know Bill McCraven.
Why do you, say that Pence would be easier on a trade war after what he did this weekend? He'd be called out China worse than Trump ever did.
I don't believe he's electable. B. He's a caretaker. He will be told what to say. And as he's being told what to say now.
Yeah, he called out Russia.
Those are my assumptions. Now, I could be wrong, but you know how I've called this market.
Well,
what, 15 years now you know me, or more than that, 18 years? Look how I've called my wife. I know how to read the tea leaves. I grew up in Washington. My dad was a diplomat. I grew up in 72, 73. I was right at the heart of the White House crisis, and he was a frequent hangout out there because of what he did in that corps, in the diplomatic corps. And so, no. I think he'll just gonna be there, President Pence, just to firm things up, and he'll just will call up the trade war, bring some sanity to this, marketplace, and then we go up. We have a great country, we have great people, a lot of good management, good products, and a lot of capital. We can destroy all of this.
Just real quick before I let you go, what is the, yesterday I was talking a little bit with, Carl Denninger. It seems like this, I've been talking like one of the few knuckleheads around that do talk about it. I was always worried about this dollar denominated debt coming out of China or, yeah, or other currency. It appears now that there were like no defaults last year, and now we're getting like $11 billion of defaults a month, and it's only growing. Is this...
Now, who are the borrowers?
The borrowers are companies in China that went directly outside the country
to borrow,
to borrow in the currencies of the other countries. They didn't run them through
also,
the rent.
You have to pay, they have to pay back with very expensive dollars.
Right. That's the problem.
And, that's the problem. Yeah, exactly. There was a name for this. I forgot. Money and banking. Funds flow. When you change that basic parameters of funds flow, that is the differential interest rates, you know, and we used to laugh about this back about 40 years ago at Princeton, saying, what are these guys, what is this prophet talking about? You see it now. When you get these differentials going, you're really breaking the fabric of society. It's like having a nice, it's like an opiate crisis. You have a nice suburban crowd into the population distribution, and you introduce opiates to half of the people there. Well, you're going to ruin the social fabric of the society. Same thing is happening with these differential interest rates between the two countries. And as this speeds up, it's only going to get worse. Listen, we still have it good here. Look at the emerging markets in terms of their economy, and how are they going to take care of their people?
Well, that's one of the things.
You know how many revolutions at the same time we're going to have? How are we going to deal with it? You think this guy can understand any of that?
Well, that's one of the issues with the idea of the last couple of years, and Steph, you and I talked about it over at Adult Beverage a while ago. This whole concept that we can not purposely, but we can watch other countries going in basically into crapo, and it's almost funny. You know, it's entertaining.
And
that it's not going to affect us. We're not totally tied together, but we're tied together enough that you're not going to get 25 countries in recession and one or two doing swimmingly. That's not the world today.
We're not living in 1950 where our economies aren't integrated.
No.
Exactly. And we still need their markets to export, and we won't be able to because the dollar will be too strong and flight to quality, and they can't come in. They can't come and buy from us, so we're going to have layoffs here. Listen, look at the 5 months now, or this being of 6 months, the real estate has dropped. I think the growth, job growth is going to slow down. Just look at the treasury, market. Look at, the YTM. Look how, well, I mean, the last couple of days, obviously, last five, six, 7 days have been dramatic. Obviously,
we
see M right now, which is, it hit the other leg, hit the high point for 7 year of the 5 to 10. We haven't done it with 30 yet. The shape is the same, but we never got to the 7 year high of a TYX. But in FBX and TNX, we have done that. This is not the area of Fed is going to be able to handle.
Well, Fed's already
the front end, yes. But this M tells me there's a huge flight to quality right now.
Well, the Fed is also.
What? If you look at it, I urge all of you, keep an eye on Transportation Index. We're about to get a death cross. We talked about Russell. He's already done that, the death cross, which is a 50 below 200. Transformation is coming. If that comes, it's like a magnet. They're going to push NDX and SPX into a death cross. Then what happens? By the prospectus for people who raise those funds, they have to sell. Otherwise, A, they could get fired, and definitely they get no money year end. So that creates a sinkhole, and the whole market will go down.
Farah, you've uplifted us all.
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
You forgot the drum roll. Now, maybe we'll touch base again tomorrow. We'll see.
Okay.
Let's see how things are.
Right.
As needed, I'll come in. You all have a great Thanksgiving. Remember to drink a lot of red wine. It's good for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Farah. Did you notice, they talk about the Fed, Steph, last week they added to the balance sheet. So they, are obviously fairly, you know, somewhat privy to what's going on in the market. They actually added money to the system last week, and that the other way. They had been pulling some of it up, but they're way behind on their, letting the mortgages run off. They're supposed to be like $90 billion now, or 50 or something. My brother keeps track of this. I mean, they're doing it, but they're behind their number. And actually, last week they added.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that portfolio there for them is very hard for them to lay off. You know, there aren't a lot of people that want to take the mortgage-backed securities group they have. They have been very profitable up to this point. So in some ways, it's been funding a lot of things for the Fed. I mean, so it's a very interesting move on trying to get out of that position.
Well, they don't have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they have to sell mortgage one. I just think they let them run off. They're still actually buying them because they're running off faster than they want them to.
Yeah, well, that's when people are paying them back faster than, you know, they're paying off their mortgages beforehand. But they're not running off, as you said, they're not running off at the rate they were expecting, correct?
I think they're running off faster. In other words, they actually are still buying mortgages.
Got it. Well, the thing is
S&P futures down 24, Dow futures down 204, NASDAQ down 86, Mr. Joel Elkanen after the break. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar.
To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right
now. Right here, right now. Manny, I'm glad we went back after break because I keep writing these numbers down. They keep getting worse by the second. S&P futures down 25. Dow futures now down 214. Nasdaq down 91. We started the break. I had them written down here. They were only down 24. God's sake. What's going on here, Steph? This is bull. Over in Europe, DAX down 91.8%. Not as bad as us. FTSE only down 4. These guys have been different than the rest of the, Europe is the Brexit. It went back and forth. They go down a little bit more and then back a little bit more. CAC around down 39.8. So those guys are hanging in there reasonably well. Nikkei down 238. That's over 1%, 1.1. Shanghai down 57. That's 2.1. That's a big hit. 26,645. We got the Hang Seng down 531. That's over 2% as well. 25,840. So, world markets not so good. Oil down a dime only. 57.10. Brent down 38 cents. 66.41. So that spread is now down to $9.30, which is what's a dollar move in 2 days, Steph? That's pretty good on that spread.
That is pretty good.
Natural gas down 19 cents, 4.51 still. RBOB 1.56. Home heating oil 2.07. So that spread is going up a little bit. As you know, well, I don't know. I think you know when you crack a barrel of oil, you get. Or three barrels, you get two barrels of gas and one of heating oil, Steph. Is that roughly the...
That is roughly the metrics.
Roughly the metrics. That gold is now up 79 cents. Got silver up 3 cents. Not much happening there. Eddie, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a pretty good start, as you might imagine, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. A lot of people starting their Turkey Day vacations early, so we're quiet still on the Edens and Kennedy. Normal volumes on the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking good for the most part as well. Only issue in the area right now is in the northern burbs. Central Road at Milwaukee Avenue in the northwest suburbs, there's traffic lights not working. That's causing some delays at that corner. The traffic lights are dark at a four-way intersection. But everything else is nice and quiet, so enjoy a nice quiet commute if you're heading into the office this morning. Weather today, you could see some snow flurries. Not expecting much for accumulation, but will be overcast and cold, about 12 degrees below normal, a high of 34 with wind chills in the 20s. Right now it's overcast and 30 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies today with a high of 78. Right now it's mostly clear and 51. In sports, Bulls and Blackhawks were off last night. Suns were in action. They lost to the 76ers 119-114. It was a big Monday night football game last night, and it was relatively historic. First time ever, Chief, that two NFL teams scored over 50 points in the same game as the Rams topped the Chiefs 54-51. It was the third highest overall scoring game in the NFL. That was the Chiefs' second loss of the season. College hoops last night, Illinois gave a valiant effort but lost to third-ranked Gonzaga in Maui, 84-78. Chief.
Joel, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. You know, it's a big week. Very big week.
Yes, it is. Do you have your puts in your pocket?
I'm referring to the game, Chief.
Yeah.
The game on Saturday.
All right, Joe, what the hell's wrong with Urban Meyer?
What, he has one loss?
No, the cameras were on him the whole game. Because he looked like he was, he ate the wrong kind of food the night before or something. And on the sideline, he was bending over and couldn't be in the huddle. And he's got some kind of cyst in his brain or something?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I mean, they definitely haven't been playing up to expectations this year. Michigan's actually favored. This is snapping a streak of 51 straight games where Ohio State has been a favorite. Michigan's favored by 3.5, 4. You know what I've been saying the whole year. I just want us to win by one. I think the key to the game, I know the Haskins has thrown the ball 50, 60, 70 times on several occasions, but it's the delayed draw that I'm worried about. If they can hold Haskins to like 40, 50 yards rushing, I think Michigan's going to have a great chance to win. But if they let that guy do what Ramsey did against Indiana and cut up those yards up the middle, it's going to open up things on the outside. So that's the key to the game, is keeping that guy Haskins in the pocket, sacking him a few times.
All right, so Michigan wins. They wop up on Northwestern. They're in the Final Four. The big colleges are all happy. Right? Well, the only one that's not happy then is the who'd be out, Maddie? The Big 12's got nobody, because there'd be the Irish, it'd be Michigan, it would be Clemson,
and Bama.
So the two the only conference that'd be bleep out of luck would be
the Big 12 and the Pac 12.
Big
12
and Pac 12 and the Pac 12. But
both of those conferences stink this year. So what are you going
to
do?
Well, my question is, what happens if Ohio State wins and either loses to or doesn't look so hot against Northwestern? Does the Big Ten lose that slot, and then who gets it if they don't have it?
I tell you, that loss to Purdue is, sticking in a lot of people's mind. You do have Washington State lurking. You do have Oklahoma lurking. I mean, how many times in the middle of November has the top four, changed going into the playoffs? As it stands right now, it'd be us against Bama, which would definitely be a tough match with Tua. Things seem to change in those top four. Doesn't look like your Irish are going to fall, though. They just have USC, and then because they're not in a conference, they don't have a conference game. So, Bama, the thing that worries me, if Georgia upsets Bama, well, first Bama has to play Auburn, but what if Georgia beats Bama? And then do they take two SEC teams over Michigan? So, a lot of people say us winning out, we're in. I'm just worried about that Alabama.
No, I think you guys winning out, you're in. Matter of fact, I'm going to make a prediction. As much as my Irish buddies listening will probably feel like somebody stuck them where the sun don't shine, I'm going to say if you win both games and the Irish just beat Southern Cal, that you guys are 3 and the Irish are 4.
No, Chief, that won't happen because you guys beat us outright.
Remember the year when they beat Florida State?
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, these guys have a big deal with this, not playing this extra game. And the Irish
are pretty beloved, though. And, I mean, it's pretty hard with head. It has happened before. But, with head-to-head, Brian Kelly, hats off to Brian Kelly. He's put together, solid teams, got a couple quarterbacks. The other big concern for me is got to keep Shea Patterson healthy the whole game.
Yeah.
Dylan McCaffrey went out 2 games ago, scrambled to the right near the end of the game and came down and broke his collarbone. So if you see Shea Patterson, on the ground or, coming off the field, then Joel Elkanen is going to be plenty worried, but hopefully he's going to stay safe. But Ohio State.
I thought you were going to say Joel Elkanen.
Punching him.
I thought you said you'd be suiting up.
Yeah, I do have 1 year eligibility left, but I talked to Harbaugh. I don't quite know the playbook, and I just want to know: are you guys coming to my house for Thanksgiving dinner after the Chicago game, or what do you want to do? I just want to do something Thursday night.
I know some people that are gone. What if you had your tickets and your hotel room set up to go to Mexico City to watch the Rams, and all of a sudden they pull a game on you?
Oh, I know, because of the field. Heck of a game, one of the highest scoring NFL games in quite some time. Two real good teams, but,
We're worried about...
Could that beat those Saints, maybe? That could be your Super Bowl winner.
We got a president worried about NAFTA and all the stuff that are going on in Mexico, and they've had a year to get together a football field and couldn't do it.
But that was one heck of a game, though. But
yeah.
So you guys are not coming into the Motor City for the big game. I can even get you some tickets to the parade.
I thought you were going to say, now with Skybox, you might tempt us.
Yeah, Skybox, I'll be there.
Okay.
Although it isn't.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll be in as good a mood next Tuesday here after we take care of the Buckeyes. I haven't been getting much sleep coming up with the game plan, but as always, go blue.
All right, Joe, what about the market? You got 2 minutes. What's going on here?
We're in a bad area. We're trading on Thursday's low here. We got to find some support real quick, or we're going to be looking at those October lows at 2603. My thesis for the Turkey Day rally is looking kind of weak now. Apple, the big components are leading us down. The ones that let us up are leading us down. You got to wait for a turnaround in those.
Where do you think it's coming from there? Everybody's beating up on these cell phones. I mean,
iPhones.
Yeah.
The iPhone topped out. The iPhone cycle. I mean, the suppliers came out a couple weeks ago. Apple confirmed yesterday. Retailers are just getting kicked out of them. Your semis, NVIDIA, 2-for-1 uninitiated stock split. I mean, the rotation, look to your value stocks, same boring stuff I've been buying for
years
is really the only safe haven.
You got 1 minute. We talked a month ago, and we were kind of debating, both of us, what we both felt. We felt a slowdown in the wind a month ago. Turns out, I think we were both right. The question is, why did we feel it? Why did it happen? I have no idea. I felt it coming from the people I was talking to. I spotted it. I mean, I said something more than other people did, which doesn't make me a maven or anything.
Yep.
But the fact is, why? Why all of a sudden?
Well, for me, I mean, maybe people just woke up and looked at, the S&P home builders, a sector of the economy, interest rate sensitive, your autos, those things are getting hit. Those are the ones that usually show chinks in the armor first, and the XAB has been screaming at us, not just since we talked a couple weeks ago. It's been screaming at us since it broke some major support. This was back in September. So just looking at the stocks and the supposed leaders of the economy, and we're just getting pounded now as we speak. S&P's did take out
Down 26.
So 2603, maybe you're going to see the bottom of that trading range from October.
Okay, Joel, thank you very much, buddy. Good luck on Thursday. SP Futures now down 26. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI, and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters, the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
If you got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go a honky-tonk tonight. We're gonna have a time.
Hello, what big Stocks and Jocks. S&P futures now down on 29.50. The only guy laughing with about 9 zillion puts in his pocket is Mr. Kenny Pulcheri. Kenny, how are you?
Good, how are you?
So I hear you shorted the world 2 weeks ago here.
Dude, we've been talking about this, right?
Yes.
Because it needed to test us again. I mean, the internal damage done to the market in October needs to correct itself. It needs to retest it. It needs to make sure that the buyers are either going to defend or not. And so, to see the market fall out of bed like this, nobody should really be surprised. And I just put it in my note today, 26.20, 26.10, 20, like that is the level where it should find some support. And so, I asked the rhetorical question, could we get that today? Well, damn right, we could get there today. It would be a 3% move from last night's close, but could we do it? We could. Look, it's also a vacation. It's a holiday week, so it's short, and volumes will be a little lighter, so moves could be more exaggerated. But even if we test it based on the fact that it is, what I just said, a holiday week where volumes are lighter, I wouldn't necessarily put all my faith in that. It needs to test it when on plenty of volume. It's got to shake the trees. It's got to rattle the branches. It's got to see who falls out before it'll really find its bottom. And until it does that, the market's going to continue to thrash around, right? I mean, we're below all levels of support, so now it needs to find a new level. And until it really does that, you can expect this, this kind of negativity and this thrashing around to continue.
I'm
not happy about it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I was thinking, until really next week when everyone comes back, can you get some more liquidity in the marketplace? We're going to be bouncing all over the place.
Well, you know what? It's difficult on it, and you saw yesterday, I think up until 355, we had only traded 400 million shares here on the floor, which was below average volume. But in the last 3 minutes of the day, between 3:57 and 4 o'clock, we traded another 500 million shares. So we did 100% of the volume that we had traded all day between 9:30 and 3:55. From 3:57 to 4 o'clock, we traded another 500 million shares, all in kind of the closing bell process. The market closes, you run into the bell, and so there is some liquidity, but it's not nearly as much as there would be if this were not a holiday week, right?
Exactly.
So, and certainly tomorrow and Friday for sure are going to be horrendous.
Did that smell like mutual fund liquidation last night?
Say it again.
Did that smell like mutual fund liquidation last night? It did to me.
No, it didn't. No, because if you notice, that is the typical pattern, right? I mean, certainly at the New York Stock Exchange, the openings and closes are the biggest events of the day, and even more so the closes and the openings, because a lot of the stocks, because they're trading pre-market, will open mostly where they're trading pre-market. But on the close, because it's a closing sale, because it's the official closing sale that all these funds and everyone that gets marked to the market, they want to be in the official close. And so what happens is that they're in all the scattered venues all day long, so they've fragmented the volume. So there's volume trading, everywhere else on the TRF and NASDAQ and ARK or New York Stock Exchange. But at the end of the day, they all cancel everywhere else and they all come here to the New York Stock Exchange. So it doesn't necessarily mean liquidation to anybody. All it means is that's how That's market structure. That causes that action. Notice it's going to happen again today. And if you go and you look at history, you know, the last, you know, the last 5 years, that's what happens. All the volume congregates at the close. And so, yeah, is it frustrating? It's absolutely frustrating. But
Kenny, is there any chance
we could have a whole conversation about that, because that's all about market structure. And so, you know, that's longer than the 10 minutes we have.
Kenny, one of these days I'm going to have you on some morning for a little more than 10 minutes talking about that. Your answer to the question is are we ever going to get anybody in power that sends you and I, and we'll even take Dr. J with us, over to the SEC and straighten those guys out? Is that ever going to happen?
You know what? You know why it's difficult to do that? Because all the big banks are making so much money with the fragmented marketplace.
Yep.
They love the fragmented marketplace because it helps their internalization engine. It helps all their dark pools. The last thing they want to see is those dark pools go away. So what do? They make all this money. They run down to Washington. They get in bed with both sides of the aisle. They make sure everybody's happy. They hire the greatest lobbyists, and they keep everything status quo. So you and I can get down there and bitch all we want, scream and yell and jump up and down. But, you know, I'm not J.P. Morgan. I'm not Goldman Sachs. I'm not Citibank. I don't have the dollars, I don't have the lobbyists, and I don't have the ability, you know, to get in bed with both sides. I mean, I might be able to get in bed with both sides, but not to the extent that they can, right?
Kenny, I've seen you on TV. You're a pretty hot-looking dude. You can get in bed whatever you want.
Listen, for 57, not so bad, right?
Yeah, not so bad.
But we should sit down and have that conversation sometime, because I'd love to talk about market structure.
We should sit down and have
that
conversation sometime, because it is absolutely true. And, you know, listen, it's a result of the fragmented market structure. And the fragmented market structure, you know, they love the fact that it's fragmented, you know, the big banks.
Until the public.
They love the fact that it's fragmented, because it does nothing but help their internalization engines as they, you know, develop this very sophisticated technology and then put it on everybody's desk, you know, all the buy-side clients' desks, and they use those clients use those algorithms to access those dark pools. And during the day, I mean, look, I spent 38 years here. I bleed the blood of the New York Stock Exchange, but the fact is that 45 or almost 50% of the volume during the day trades off the floor, trades in the dark pools, trades in those TRFs. And in my opinion, that's a weakening of the total system, because that's sort of flow that's never exposed to the public. It's all internalized.
Kenny,
people need to really understand that. Why the SEC thinks it's a good idea is beyond me.
Kenny, if you had to guess, what percentage of the order flow now, the trades, are customer to customer?
Boo.
You know, that's an interesting question, but because so much of it trades off the exchange, because when it was on the exchange, you could tell when it was customer, because you could see Merrill was buying it, or First Boston was selling it. You saw the customers, brokers trading with brokers who were representing clients. In this new fragmented world we're in, since you can't see anything, and especially when it trades in a TRF and it trades in all these dark pools and it trades in all the alternative venues, you can't see it. So you don't really know. All you can do is go off of the data that's supplied by, you know, I can see in my handheld stuff that trades here, you know, who it's trading against. But, you know, I can see First Boston's a buyer, I can see Merrill Lynch as a seller. But the bulk of the volume is trading away. And so you don't know I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure you can really find out the answer.
I don't know that you can. So question for you, you know, when do you think the public, or when do you think there's going to be a backlash? I mean, really, until the public stops trusting the marketplace, which we see in spits and farts here.
You're
but
exactly right. And I think what you're going to do, the public's going to stop trusting the marketplace when you have another event that so shakes them to the core that they finally stand up and say, what the hell is going on? Right? When they finally understand it. And I don't know when that's going to be. You know, I kind of thought that I was kind of hoping that, you know, you're going to see some action on that after what happened in February, that short vol trade, the way the market just imploded over a period of a day and a half, and, you know, shaking the core of people going, what the hell is going on down there? And in yesterday's note, I put, I think the next event that's going to cause instability are going to be the 2 and 3 times levered ETFs, which are very, very complex products, which the retail investor does not buy. But because the retail investor is in the market, when those products implode, the retail investor is going to get dragged right along with it. And that's when somebody should stand up and say, bullshit.
I don't know.
Right?
You know, they market ETFs big time to retail clients these days. I mean, it's a huge thing.
Yeah, but not the 2 and 3 times
That's
leverage.
True.
Those are marketed very much to professional traders. I mean, ETFs certainly. You know, very very plain Jane vanilla ETFs are marketed absolutely to the retail investor. But you, as a retail investor, are never going to go out and buy the Direccion 3 times.
I got news for you.
Bullish.
I got news for you, Kenny. People find them. And here's even,
yeah, I know people find them, but they're inappropriate. So if your broker's telling you to buy the 3x levered ETF, shame on him.
Well,
because it's absolutely not geared towards a retail investor.
Okay, but what I'm saying is retail investors buying some. We just had an audit, right? And we had a few people that were, we did fine. We always do fine. But the guy from the auditor, when you get to be big and old, you get to do something once in a while, Kenny. The guy's telling me, well, you know, you've got these higher scrutiny on people trading these 2x and 3x ETFs. I said,
yep.
You're absolutely right. I said, but you know what really would help? Well, what would help? You guys take them off the market.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
They got no business on the market.
I put a list of them in my note yesterday because I talked about this exact subject, and I put, you know, but whether they're the bullish ETFs or the bearish ETFs, but they're 2x and 3x levered, and they are very, very dangerous. And whether or not you buy them, as a retail investor, you're invested in the market. And if those implode, just like the short vol trade imploded in February when you weren't, I didn't own any of that short vol trade yet, my portfolio went down 10% like everyone else's because
right.
those idiots imploded. And
yep.
so, therefore, we get dragged along with it. And that's going to be, in my mind, I think, the next
Kenny, we only have 30 seconds.
That's going to cause, you know, a meltdown.
We only have 30 seconds, but I'm pretty good at options. Could be one of the best on retail stuff. I can't tell you how I would put a portfolio together that says if we go down 3% today that I can return you 9 every single
okay.
day. How can you do that?
Listen, you know better than me. I don't know, right? Because I don't play in the options market. So
I don't
only
think
because
you can.
I never did, right? But so I can't speak to that. But certainly you can. But I don't understand how people can think that they could do that consistently and that it's going to work without imploding one day. Because just like the short vol trade, it worked until it didn't. It
right.
worked until
sure.
until the news wasn't what they expected and the thing imploded. And
well,
the same
right.
thing in my mind is good. Look, it happened in the mortgage industry, right? It was fine until the economy turned and all of a sudden every one of those products, MBSs, ADSs, CDOs, they all imploded and took the whole world down with it. And everyone's scratching their head going, geez, how did that happen? Really? How did that happen? Are you kidding me? Unregulated bullshit.
Kenny, we got you going, buddy. We got you going. I love
yes.
it. Take care of yourself, buddy. Talk, have a nice Thanksgiving. Talk to you next week.
You too.
Manny, who we got after the break? We got Dane.
Dane Cooper.
Yeah, Dane Cooper. This will be fun. We'll be right back. By the way, S&P down 33 now.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then. That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Something happening
here. Well, don't thank Stacks Jacks. I'm Tim Allen. She's Stephanie Coney. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP futures down 32 now. First uptick. They were down 33. Down on 281. NASDAQ down 110. Pretty horrible morning in the market if you're long here. After a horrible day yesterday, we'll see if we bounce here or not. But in the meantime, we have something interesting to talk about instead of this people just losing their money in the market. Steph, who do we have?
We have Dane Cooper, the CEO from Performance Livestock Analytics here joining us today. Welcome, Dane. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Dane, are you all set in the market here? You're not losing money today, I hope?
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, it's a rough one. All the commodity prices have been all over the place, too, in the last 6 months. It's been kind of an odd last 6 months, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it has, especially in the agricultural industry. You know, you could probably call it a tough year.
Yes.
Just with variable weather and just, you know, low commodity prices.
Dan, I know you want to talk a lot about the technology part, which, by the way, is fascinating. I was talking with Steph last night about it, and we definitely want to talk a little bit about that. But if you wouldn't mind, what is the status of the people in the soybean producers that were supposed to send their stuff to China? Did they end up able to get that stuff rerouted to New Orleans and at least sell it for something, or are they just skunked?
There's a lot of soybeans in storage right now. You know, and they had a pretty tough day on the board. Yesterday too, I think soybeans were down over 15 cents, and so it's still trying to get figured out. You know, I think there's a lot of soybeans in storage just waiting for these negotiations and trades to be had. So a lot of these farmers are depending on these negotiations with China. If it doesn't work out, it'll be interesting to see where these soybeans go, but I think a lot of them are standing in storage right now.
We're going to start moving our soybeans to feeding our cattle and feeding our pigs instead of corn.
Well,
yeah, well, a lot of soybeans go through pigs, right? Swine is an industry that does consume quite a bit of soybeans.
But the basis risk of stuff, well, let's not worry so much about that. Tell me about the satellites and the drones. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, so, you know, in agriculture, you know, it's truly one of the last true industries to go through a digital revolution, when you think about it. You know, all these industries that we all work in and are just around day to day have went through a technology kind of evolution. People operate on different platforms to run their businesses. In farming and agriculture, it's industry. It's interesting because we're just now going through that revolution. We're kind of behind. You think of the general business industry, healthcare, whatnot, and we're going through that transformation. So our company, Performance Livestock Analytics, is specifically doing that for livestock producers.
So what kind of things are you doing?
Operations. Go ahead.
Like, what kind of things are you doing?
So we're providing a digital platform for them to manage, store their data, and we also provide a technology experience on farm. So they're using a cellular iPad to actually feed their cattle every day. And all that data comes through our ERP system. We provide them real-time financials, break-evens, so they can make better decisions.
Got it. So you guys are providing, you know, I always love the story about how all of our cows now are geo-tagged. So, you know, we know where they are. We know what they are since birth. So you guys are using some of that technology to understand better about producing better cattle. Is that one of the options?
Absolutely. Yep, yep. That's 100% the goal. You know, 80% of our clients were probably operating offline, right? So they were writing stuff down on pen and paper. And these are people that have over $1 million of capital at risk in most all cases. And just operating in a way that wasn't technology savvy to where they could make better decisions. You know, they're walking around with smartphones, they're connected in the house, but there just wasn't a platform then to operate on.
Hey, was some of this, I won't say government mandated because I'm not so sure they ever make a whole lot of good decisions, but was some of this mandated with the mad cow scare where there was a couple of cows they didn't know where they came from and everybody was all up in arms?
No, it's a discussion for the industry on traceability. It is not mandated in the U.S.
Okay.
You know, in Canada, they have to trace from birth, basically to fork, where that animal came from. And so, in the U.S., it is not mandated to tag and trace those animals.
But it's obviously a good idea, right?
I mean, it is. It's an interesting idea, yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I think there's a couple of variables around that. People can do that for better management.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Higher results.
You guys are doing it just because it's better management. You're not doing it because somebody told you to.
That's right.
I thought there was some kind of regulation if you were going to export it to certain countries, you needed to have them tagged from birth. Is that still the case?
Yeah, that is the case. So you can produce livestock that go into these vertical niches for the European Union. So they call them NHTC or all natural, to where they have to be traced basically from birth to fork, and you cannot use any of the growth technologies in those animals. They got to be raised naturally and specifically for that European market.
I always love the Kobe beef, how the cows get massaged. I think that if I ever come back, you know, in a Hindu life, or you know, maybe that's a place to come back to. Get a nice massage, hang out in the field all day, you know, pop out a cow once a year.
But then your dinner.
Yeah, I don't want to go to Fork.
No. Yeah, that's true.
Fork's a little too far.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we've had a lot of people on the show doing this for a while, and when my brother Dan traded corn options on a trading floor a long time ago, it used to be that in Illinois, I mean, we make it sound sometimes like these guys are bumpkins, and they're absolutely not. The guys, once in a while, we'd get somebody who did over 200 bushels of corn an acre, and now it seems like if you're not doing 210, 220, there's like something wrong with you. I mean, there's been dramatic improvements in the industry all along using technology, really, haven't there? I mean, is that, you guys are just taking it one step further.
So it's that's exactly right. A lot of that technology has been biotechnology, right? Traded seeds that allow you to produce more. And actually, the prior company I worked at, the Climate Corporation, just got acquired in 2015 by Monsanto for $930 million. And basically, that's Monsanto's play of saying our next phase in increasing yield is the use of digital technology over biotechnology, right? So they see it as the next transformation in this industry to increase yield by all means.
So I love it up by my aunt. My aunt lives in upstate New York, just kind of over the border from Montreal, and got a huge chicken farm up there where they have basically bought up all the land to farm corn in order to produce these chickens, and it's unbelievable what they've done there. They've literally flattened to millimeters, even to that ground out, you know, to, like I said, to millimeters, and planted corn, and they've got it all irrigated, everything, you know, but not the old style irrigation under the ground at the roots. It is an impressive establishment.
So like a golf course almost.
It's a golf course with corn coming up, and it is absolutely unbelievable. You go out one day and there's a whole field there, and you'll come back in the morning and it's gone. They have cut it overnight using GPS with the tractors, and you know, it is impressive.
Wow, that's do you have any idea what all that costs?
I have no idea, but I do know that it employs pretty much the whole region up there, and it's a big money making place.
Do you guys what is the most high-tech thing you guys use? I mean, how do you collect all the info? Is it by satellite, by drone, or just, I mean, how does that all work?
You're seeing a lot more of these platforms provide, like, satellite imagery, drone imagery, and then you're seeing a lot more model-based algorithms doing predictive analytics within an operation, too. So you're seeing a convergence of a lot of different technologies coming together, a lot of IoT sensors coming into play that can help actually sense the animal physically, or the crops ground to see if it needs to be irrigated, and then looking at imagery too to see, okay, is our models matching up with what the imageries are actually telling us. So
I'm very curious.
You're seeing a convergence into these platforms.
I'm very curious. How the hell or who gets the input into what satellite to get this done? I mean, it makes sense to me. But who is there a satellite up there just for this? And do people pay for a minute or two on there, or does the Illinois Agriculture get slices of time and they give you the information? How does it all work?
Yeah, I mean, there's different satellite networks that you know basically deploy those satellites, right, and then specifically provide the imagery for farmers and several other industries. So if you think of these satellite networks, they're providing that service to a lot of different industries, and agriculture is an important one.
So there's a satellite up there that will, if you've got some huge farm in Iowa, that'll let you know the thing is X percent moisture and you better do something.
Yeah, so the sensors...
Yeah, it'll give you a kind of a forage index that people derive algorithms off of as far as crop health.
And then those are just up there and you pay monthly to these guys or what? Does somebody's got to pay them.
Yeah, you're seeing it at least monthly where people can get imagery. It's not biweekly or even more frequent now.
So when somebody goes and you know uses your software, your system for either cows or crops, is there, you know, can they automatically see an uptick in their production? I mean, what kind of percentages do you see usually?
Generally yes. And a lot of it derives around a lot of management inefficiencies and errors that they're able to manage in a better way because they see everything now. Right, your labor's out doing these operations and you don't know if they fed those animals correctly, that it was the right amount, the right mixture, and if it's not, generally it can create issues. So yeah, we've seen, you know, up to 5 to 10% increases in gain and feed efficiency, and just more profit driving to their bottom line just because of better management as they manage on these platforms to manage employees and also make better decisions based on data.
All right, so somebody's got a big ranch, they've never done any of this stuff. They say, "Hey, come on in. What's the first thing they do? What road do you take them down to where all this stuff starts? What happens first?"
Yeah, well, the first thing we do is really look at, okay, where's your data being stored now? Like, is it within a notebook? Is it on an Excel spreadsheet? And so we try to migrate that into our system to a point to where when they start using it from that day forward, it's current, it's real time. There's connectivity. The people that are the stakeholders or the owners, the animals, have that information, and that day forward they can look at the data and make better decisions. So that's our main goal, is to say, okay, where is this data? If it's anywhere, let's try to get it in the system and up to date. So we try to migrate that in and do that upload step one, because once it's there, now they can make decisions on it.
So if they decide they want to use a satellite link or some other kinds of stuff, it all just flows through your stuff.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we're the platform of choice,
okay,
right? So we kind of created that ecosystem that, you know, whoever's making decisions can operate off of, no matter if they're on farm or sitting in Chicago at their day job and they own livestock. They can see those animals, see the break evens, and they can look at the markets to understand we're at a profit. Let's make a decision and roll.
Got it. So it helps them make, like you keep saying, it make more informed decisions. But the things that farmers did was a lot of gut and a lot of experience, and so you're just putting some numbers behind that to make sure that they're making data-driven decisions.
Well, that's right. It's kind of a money ball play, we always say.
Well,
right?
we used to have...
Instead of your personal bias...
A lot of what people do on the Board of Trade in the hedging, and my brother knows more about this than me, but say you do have a big farm, and again, I'm crossing... Well, actually, with livestock, be the same way. If you have a better feel for, let me say, use the term, the health of your crop or your livestock, your hedging is going to be a lot better. I mean, I've run into a lot of farmers that would say they would only hedge half their corn crops. In other words, if you had a big run-up in corn early in the season, most people would say, well, I can't hedge the whole thing because what if I get a hailstorm over my, you know, farm and I lose half my crop? Well, if there's a system that says your crop is 60%, you know, it's like a really good year, maybe you could hedge 60% of it, or 55 or 70, rather than your normal rule of thumb 50. You're probably never going to do 100, but any little bit more you can, the more and more knowledge you have, would make your hedges a little better, I would think. Same with
livestock.
Yeah, that's
a very true statement. Yep. And actually, we did a survey of why farmers, whether they hedge or not, and the main reason why farmers did not hedge or do risk protection was because they didn't have enough data or know-how to make the decision, right? They didn't know when to hedge, at what price, because they didn't have enough data to best understand where their strike price needed to be, per se, for profitability.
Well, they also, there's usually the reason why, same thing I run into with stock people, is they're corn farmers, they're long corn. They don't ever want to sell it, really, because they think it's going up. That's part of the
problem. Yep, yep. That's right. They're always 5 cents from selling.
Well, and if they get five hours a bushel, and it's a spectacular year, and it goes to 550 afterward, they're pissed off at the Board of Trade, basically.
Yep, basically.
But livestock has been all over the place. So your facility, your stuff, when it goes from a group, I used to know these people, I still probably know them, but I haven't seen them in ages. They had a group up in Wisconsin where they would take the smaller steers, for lack of a better term, away from the mother cow, kind of, whatever. And they put them out there at, say, 200 pounds, and they would just run around on this field of knockdown corn in Wisconsin, and they get to be like 800 pounds before they went to the field. I don't know what you call that, but if those guys are all, if they're all tagged and everything, you can pretty much take care of those guys all the way. So you take them from place to place, right? Or at that age, they're probably not tagged, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Traceability and then just the data around how those animals are moved from one farm to the next is very important. You know, in general, today that data doesn't transfer.
Okay.
So the feedlot that's taking those backgrounded calves that were on that cornfield that you mentioned, generally, he didn't have much knowledge or data around those animals. And we're providing that ecosystem today to where complete data management from the bottom up to where that data can transfer with those animals now. And we can drive better management and also serve up traceability in this industry as we see a consumer that's driving toward wanting to know more about how their food is produced.
Do you guys provide any information on, the transportation costs and storage costs? Is there anything within your platform that addresses any of that so people know when to move their crops or their livestock?
And livestock specifically, you know, we provide a lot of analytics as far as making decisions based on your location. You know, so every operation we have is, you know, referenced within our database as far as their location, their distance to any packer processor. Transportation, you know, is a real cost in a lot of cases, but it's a pretty fixed known variable, you know, right? They always send their animals to a given location for the most part. It doesn't change year over year too much. And so we always provide it within the break even in the analysis as they make that decision, but that's not so much a moving variable.
Got it.
As much as you would think it would be.
Got it.
So right now if somebody has, you know, a whole bunch of soybeans, say in Dakota, that he can't get to the West Coast and wants to ship them down to New Orleans, your software doesn't help him get it there, basically. But obviously in this day and age, it would be nice if somebody's did.
Yeah, well, we're on the livestock side, we are building an ecosystem.
Okay.
Where people can better buy and market cattle. So where we can connect a cow-calf producer to a feedlot producer, two packer processors that are getting bids. And so today that whole environment of those guys selling cattle from one spot to the next is done offline.
Yep.
And like I said, the data doesn't carry value. And so providing that ecosystem within the platform, right now we have over 1.2 million head of cattle that are
wow.
on feed in the platform. And so ranchers are interested in selling to those feedlot producers. Those producers are wanting to get more bids to a packer processor. So it's kind of the next phase that we're looking at now is building on that ecosystem to connect these people in a more digital sense of a platform they can operate off of.
Dan, if somebody, like your best customer to walk in your door this morning is who, a rancher pretty much?
It's an independent, you know, livestock producer. It's a feedlot background producer. So, right, generally, in most cases, these are people that are feeding those animals in pens to a finishing weight to be harvested at their endpoint. So, for those producers, they feed those animals every day with a tractor and feed wagon. So when you think about it, there's a workflow that happens 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And to be able to help them manage that and make it easier is a game-changing thing we're doing. And it's a workflow that happens every day, too. So it's our average usage is 4 to 5 hours on our platform a day for each customer. So
what states
ideally
are
active usage.
What are the key states that that do the most of this stuff? I know it kind of spread around, but what are the key states that, that do like a lot of this?
Yeah, it's really the Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. So it's kind of that cattle feeding corridor.
Okay.
I can only imagine when I'm going to get tagged, and then they're going to start figuring out what the life cycle to feeding me on a daily basis.
See, now, if I was nasty, I would say to Steph, you've already tagged yourself with that cell phone.
I have. It's true.
Dan, thank you very much, buddy. Hey, if somebody wants to find you,
yeah,
how do
you.
They do? If somebody wants to find you, how do they do it?
I'll look us up online, performancelivestockanalytics.com.
All right, and we'll tweet it out. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you.
Markets is still going the wrong way, still down 33, Steph. What do you make of it? I have this thing here. We talked a little bit earlier. I'm trying to get back to our original conversation because we're going to have John in a second. When people criticize the Fed and everything right now, I don't know how you can, Steph. I mean, I think we blew some stuff up too big. I dug through. I mean, I look like it, but I've been doing some cleaning in here. And I you look at some of these numbers. And it's absolutely spectacular at where we've gone. I mean, somebody was interviewing kind of me the other day, and they said, why are you still somewhat bearish on what has been a big bull market and something? Because it's all debt, Steph. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if we weren't continuing to increase the debt on every level,
yep.
I'd be wildly bullish about what's happened to the economy, the fact that people can get a job, even if it's maybe not the best job, but... I mean, I'm looking here. This is one of the listeners sent me this. Now, it only goes to 2013. Obviously, it was a while ago, but 1971 to 2013. But none of this has changed in the last 5 years. We're talking about the average price of a new home up 845%. Average price of a car up 800%. A loaf of bread up 1,000%. I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. The college tuition 1,500%, and there's not even medical on this. Medical's got to be 2,000%. But here's the numbers. Median household income is up 465%, so it's lower than any one of these numbers.
Yep.
And median wage per worker, this is even worse, 323. So, in other words, if you don't have two income families, you're not even close. You're like a third of inflation. But this is even consumer credit outstanding is up 2,000%. Mortgage debt is up 2,500%. All people are doing is building up the debt. And now it's not even actually in the last 5 years, people have been relatively thrifty. In the last 5 years,
yep.
Or last 8 years,
it's 8 years
since 2008, people haven't increased their debt that much. So people have actually acted a little better. Yet the government debt at all levels has totally overridden people. Do you think somebody who gets a 5% raise or 6% raise, and it should be
who gets a 6% raise these days?
I'm saying it should be wildly ecstatic. They have really no way of even thinking that their governmental debt on their shoulders went up like 50 grand in the last 5 years. I mean, how do you even think of those numbers?
Well, this is the biggest problem, and this is where the inequality in our society is coming out. Is, you know, wages are definitely not increasing, and yet companies are making record profits. They're not returning any of that money to workers,
right?
And yet everything else, housing prices, food prices, car prices, gas prices, everything is going up from an inflationary perspective. So, you know, we are working twice as hard, making, you know, less money or just as much roughly as we were before, and everything's more expensive. So, I mean, it's understandable why people are upset and feel like they're not making their way in this world when frankly everyone's working hard and the economy's going well, but you just don't see it in your paycheck.
Well, Steph, why do you think, if the market, who knows what's going to do? This might be the sell-off this morning where we end up on the day and went higher for the end of the year. I mean, nobody knows. I mean, everybody tells you they know, but take it from somebody who's been doing this 36 years. Nobody knows, right? I mean, where things are going to be 2 days from now. You have a feeling, you have a feel, and sometimes your feel is real good, sometimes it's not. You've been through this before. My feel may be a little better than somebody else's, but only a little bit, mm-hmm. And that may be enough to trade on to say, oh, no, right now, buy, or right now, sell. Anybody who thinks they can tell you that, I'd be careful about listening to them. Anyway, but now the market, we had a situation where, and Eric, who one of these days I want you to meet, feels his managerial class is basically stealing the money. is what you're talking about.
You think?
You think? Well, yeah. Okay.
So wait a minute. You mean the generous tax cut they got didn't go back to the people?
No.
God, but, I'm shocked to hear that.
But Maddie,
my company just laid off about 50 people last week.
That's great.
Which is, you know, that sucks. I don't think the economy's nearly as good as what I'm told every day.
I don't either.
Well, we get a lot of this, Mr. Weber. We've been listening to how many people in the 8 years you've been helping me with the show. And by the way, I thank you for that. How many people say it doesn't matter if people pay a dividend because the price of stock is going up? So what if we get down another 15-20%, and at the end of 5 years you got no dividend, and now your stock price has gone up either? What exactly did you get? Meaning, while the people that are working at the place, the top 500 executives are fat and happy, making more money than that. You could put out it's not like it's up to me to tell people how much to make, but Steph, some of these places, I'm going to say at Commonwealth Edison, the top 500 people, you and I could go in tomorrow, so you know more about this than I do. We could put a bolo out. How's that? They're waiting, they're looking for a crook in a car. Whatever. If we put a thing out saying, wanted new chief of human resources, I'll bet you put that sign out for half of what that person's making at Commonwealth Edison, and you get 50 good people.
I bet so,
no
too.
No doubt about it.
No, I mean, and yet they go down to the state, and they say, oh, we need all this money, and your electric bill went up. I mean, I think that we are being lied to right and left about all these numbers, and it's coming home to roost. And I hope it doesn't come home to roost in one day.
Yeah, but the problem is that really we don't need one job to cut that kind of cost in common without us. We need them to have five different jobs that take that salary and pay a decent salary to five different people in some kind of management level, right? That's the only way we're going to increase salaries to a wider range of people and help this economy in general overall, or help people in general overall.
Well, in Commonwealth Edison's case, if they cut our electric bill by 20%, we're going to use that money for something else. And there's something else going to hire people.
Well, will it hire people? That's the question.
Well, you would hope so.
That's actually, I think, the problem that's happening.
SP
is
Futures,
it's not
still down
happening.
31. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks, Mr. John Neal. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure.
but I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as they do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Maddie, speed this up. I've scribbled down numbers four times during the break, for God's sake. S&P futures now down 33, Dow down on 302, NASDAQ down 118. So we're getting worse. Oil down 91 cents now, 56.29. 10-year yield 3.04. We're in danger going under 3 as the Fed is pouring more money into the system here. They're reacting to this sell-off here in the last week or two. Although I'm sure if I asked them directly, they would say no. But I'm going to say liar, liar, whatever. DAX down 146, 1.3%. FTSE down 36.5%. Kakaran down 58, 1.1%. So they're leaking over there as well. Nikkei down 238, 1.1%. Shanghai down 57, 2.1%. Hang Seng down 531. That's 2%. So we've got sellout pretty much everywhere in the 2% range over in Asia. Like I said, we've got oil down 91 cents. Brent down 117. So we're down to 56.29, 65.62. So we're talking about roughly $9.30 now on that spread just moved while we were since last break. So natural gas 461, that's down 8 cents. RBOB 154, Home heating oil 2.05. A little bit of a rally out of gold now, 1.79. Silver up a whole penny. Maddie, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Nice and quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways this morning, as far as accidents are concerned anyway. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Still a little bit below an hour from O'Hare into downtown, about 55 minutes, so that's a little better than normal for this time of morning, probably due to a holiday week and folks starting their vacations a bit early. No issues on the Eisenhower, Stevenson, or the Southside expressways either. Only crash in the area right now is in Naperville. Naperville Road at the West Loop Road, East Loop Road intersection there, and that's causing some delays out in Naperville, but everything else is looking good. Weather today, more clouds, more cold, and we could have some flurries as well, but not expecting much for accumulation. Right now it's cloudy and 31 degrees, going up to a high of 34, so we'll be right in the low to mid-30s all day. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 78. Right now it's mostly clear and 52. In sports, Bulls were off last night. Suns were in action. They lost to the 76ers 119-114. Hawks and Coyotes were both off as well. Monday Night Football was a historic game in the NFL. 54-51 was the final. Rams over the Chiefs. First time ever both teams in an NFL game scored over 50 points. It was the third highest scoring game of all time. College hoops, Illinois is in Maui. They lost a tough one to Gonzaga, 84-78. Arizona State upset Mississippi State, 72-67. Cheap.
What do you make of one thing? Maybe you guys can help me out, being younger, more with it. Anybody can be more with it. Hey, John, how are you?
Good morning.
Hey, I got a question. John, I was never involved in this, and I don't think you were either. We never got involved. What, if anything, do you think the incredible route in this Bitcoin, is it adding to the market problems? How much money are people losing there? I have no feel for that. Do you guys have a clue?
Well, I mean, I think the market really went up. I mean, it was up in August. I think August was a kind of around its height, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. What did Bitcoin get to? I thought it was like 10,000 or 11, didn't it? Or was it higher than that?
It got to some ridiculous number where everyone thought that they needed to jump into these kind of products. But then, I mean, I think they found a ton of fraud. They're in the process of charging a whole bunch of different people with all sorts of different issues around it. I'm not 100% up on it, but it's something that I've never thought was really a good idea, and I never understood really what Bitcoin was backed by. I understand the technology behind it. Yeah, I understand the technology behind it. I get it's really more an exchange of value play, but nevertheless, I never understood truly.
The 52-week high, by the way, Chief, you were was $19,843.
Wow.
That was around this time last year, Thanksgiving.
This time? Okay.
November 2017, 19,800, and right now it's currently at $4,500. So that's a pretty big decline, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, does anybody, Jan or Maddie, do you guys know anybody who I think we got a guy in our building, Maddie, that's been paid in the last year or two in Bitcoin. I don't know how he's liking this. I'm thinking that's so hot. But I don't know the details there. But I guess
hot to say the least.
But how many people are I mean, Matt, your business you're in is very, shall we say, future centric. I mean, do you have any of the geeks in your place? I mean, did any of those guys like put 20 grand in Bitcoin last year and are now basically sucking the wrong end here, or what?
I don't know about that much, but absolutely, yes. I know a lot of people that invested in cryptos, whether it was Bitcoin or some of the lesser-known ones, and were certainly part of the craze at the end of 2017, early 2018, and some did okay, and some, you know, but a lot of people obviously have lost a lot this year. Now, I don't know anyone that's, like, you know, put in like their savings or anything like that.
But if they're down a few G's, you're probably not going to know about it. They're just
exactly pissed, yes. But I know tons of people that were involved and are still involved.
Really?
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have, you know, a couple $100, maybe $1,000 in it. But and then I know one trader who kind of got into it pretty heavily. I would say probably around the time it was sort of at its peak, and he's never been happy with the way it trades. There's almost no rationale in his perspective to how it fluctuates.
Well, why should there be? There's nothing backing it up.
Right.
So, John, was it big down by you guys too? It was here for a while. We actually had a.
Oh yeah, just like the folks are talking about. Same thing here is, you know, just little bits and pieces. I heard people, you know, and kind of bragging a little bit about it. You know how much they're up on it and this and that. And obviously, you're not hearing much now, though. So,
well,
people aren't talking to me now about it. But
Manny, what was the number that I said we could get a vending machine? I forget what it was. It was was it 40 grand or 14? It was some really big honking machine where you could actually have a Bitcoin ATM.
Really?
And there was a couple of them down where my brother lives in Beverly, and he actually bought one of them. Is in politically correctly is in a grocery store that I'm going to say the people that shop there are 90% minority. So somewhere along the line, this thing became essentially the lottery machine. And I think my brother said he put $20 in there. This is Dan. You know, Dan throws around $20 like manhole covers, John. But he puts $20 there. And I think he got, what do you say, Maddie? $15.50 in Bitcoin? I think took, there was a currency tax, currency something. He ended up paying like $4.50 in VIG.
In fees.
So I bet if he takes that now and throws it back in there, he probably gets like $5.
Maybe. He's lucky if he gets $5.
He's lucky if he gets $5. Yeah. So I'm wondering how many people in that store, minorities, that, you know, the same people who don't read the odds on the lottery, I wonder how many people, what do you think the total take of that machine was in that store? There's two of them in Beverly. One was in the currency exchange, and one was in the food store, frequented, like I said, mostly by minorities.
Wow.
So, I mean, I have no idea. How much do you think the machine scooped up? 100 grand, 5 grand, 2 grand over a year? I don't know. I mean,
how can that be legal? You're allowing them to buy into a product without any knowledge about who this person is, whether or not it's right for them, or whether or not they can afford it. I mean, that seems against all of our
Steph, rules. Why don't you go over on Van Buren? I love to give Steph grief. because she could take it. I want you to go over on Van Buren, and the next three street people you see buying a lottery ticket, ask them to explain to you the odds and whether they should be buying a ticket.
No, that lottery I get is one thing, but this is actually, you know, a product. It's regulated, correct?
I don't think it ever was regulated.
It's supposed to be regulated financial instrument, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to say it never got regulated.
Interesting.
Right. And but yet, you know, we'll get scrutinized under a microscope, but they could have a vending machine for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's actually harder to buy cigarettes out of a vending machine than apparently to buy Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
Both can kill you, I guess.
I mean, I wonder, Matt, do you think we're ever going to get somebody to write a pamphlet or a book that says, here's how much people lost in Bitcoin? I bet in the Beverly neighborhood it's got to be. I won't say it's $1 million, but I'll bet it's six figures. It's got to be. I mean, the people with them. I tell you what, if every time somebody puts 5 hours in the machine, we made $3. We should have put one of those machines in there. Just saying.
What other vending machines can we get into? Because I can see this. We can make a lot of money on this. It just depends on what we're selling.
I don't think you're the right nationality, Steph, for the vending machine.
You don't think so?
John, get a load of this. Audrey and I go into the. Yeah. We go to the place in Homer Glen, our favorite Pepe's Tacos, because nobody ever goes into the bar. The restaurant's mapped. They got a great bar with three huge TVs. I can always put the Notre Dame game on. There's nobody else there. Bartender loves us. There's this guy sitting next to me, and he manages, shall we say, the video poker machines.
Okay.
It's a third generation business. Okay. So you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
And guess what the first generation was? Grandpa.
Oh, I thought.
I would say Italian immigrants.
No, jukeboxes.
Oh, okay.
Second generation was cigarette machines and so forth.
And now
now it's just same area, same south suburbs, you know, same guy. Guys, they go from machine to machine, cash business. You know,
well, that's because the supplier's the same for all of them.
Yep.
You know, and they're
pretty
just
much.
More expensive as you buy up.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, John, we got you. We got to ask you the big question. Is there ever a buy point here, or what are we doing? This looks pretty miserable.
Not right this second, Tom. So I'd have to, you know, wait, because we're going to test what we did about a week 10 days ago. So it looks like it's going to test that, and we'll go from there.
Did you take the advice of your fearless leader, Dan, where the last 10 expirations. We now have 3 expirations a week. I know, you know, so we have spiders expiring Monday, Wednesday, and Friday stuff. The last, like, 10 expirations, 9 of them, if the morning of the expiration, we opened, like, up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
If you'd have bought puts, you'd have made, like, a fortune that day, every single day. And yet, of course, you know, we haven't done it. But, just because the last 10 were like that doesn't mean the next one's going to be like that, obviously. But it's been unbelievable. How long has this been going on, Jen? I mean, it's like every expiration we've been selling off. I don't know. I'm not sure how much lower we can go here. Oh, the answer is like a real lot lower. But I'm going to say that if of course I keep saying now Nasdaq futures down almost 150, we're really crapping out here this morning. I'm going to say that we at least hold someplace today, John. I hope. Is that hope or is that thought? What is that?
Well, no, because like I was saying, you're butting up against the resistance. Well, I mean, it depends exactly where it'll open up, but the point being is you're back to another resistance level, and you know, there's a lot of truth to that type of stuff. So, no, it won't surprise me at all either. And then, you know, they'll put out some piece of news to prop this up again, and then something else will happen to try to push it back down again, and you know, we'll have the same old fight, you know.
Well, I'm gonna say that the dragging somebody out and say we're talking with China, that's not gonna work today. I mean we they've tried that too many times.
They did that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's not gonna work today. Now, the good news, Jan, is I had virtually nobody in any of these FANGs things. So the bad news is the FANG things. So when they all ran when they all ran up, I didn't make any money there. But now they're all running down, I'm not losing any. So, you know, these things are down. Just those stacks. Guess how much money they're down in profit in market value in the last from the highs stuff. Take a number.
Oh gosh, 10%.
$945 billion as of this morning earlier.
Wow.
So it's probably closer to $1 trillion now. So those stacks have dropped almost $1 trillion in.
So what percentage?
There was 5 of them. The one of them got to $1 trillion, so I'm going to say the total number was probably four. I'll bet they're down 20-25%.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, Facebook's down way more than that, right?
Yes, it is.
Amazon's down from 21.50 to 15-something. So what's that? That's almost 30%, right?
I don't know. Facebook's got another thing out. Child bride auctioned off on Facebook. That can't be good for them today.
How much you go for?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
Well, I mean, when you looked at, I mean, we've been talking, Jen, this morning about places like Bitcoin. I mean, it sort of has no value. I mean, Facebook, when the thing was going up, 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 and I know that I'm part of the Luddite generation, but here's a company that asks you to put all your personal crap on there and then sells it to people. Okay, I guess that'll work for a while. But is that a 25-year business plan? I never thought it was. I mean, I'm not saying they're going out of business or anything, but for God's sake, I mean, somewhere along the line, people are going to say, "What are they doing? They're just selling my crap to people."
Well, it's not just your crap; it's the combination of your crap with my crap with everyone else's crap that's valuable.
Okay, and I at some point, now he's got a problem with that. I don't think they go on. But what do you think the base level of that is? I mean, is it? How much money do they make? I mean, how much advertising is on there? There's got to be a lot.
There is a lot. There's tons, but it's a lot about they sell their data in order to inform advertisers about who you are and do targeted marketing, which in theory cuts down their cost from a marketing perspective and allows them to target clients with higher, return ratios. So, I mean, that's a big business, but the marketing industry in general is down from a financial high of a number of years ago when a lot of data was not readily available. So now with more data, people are realizing that their spend, the amount of money they spend on advertising, it doesn't need to be as high. It needs to be more targeted. And that's where the money, that's where the data from you, from me, from everyone else comes in and is important.
Well, I mean, not to say how old, but in 2000, I remember being in the OEX pit and all this .com stuff is—it's all click-throughs. It's all this. It's all that. It's all—it's all seeing the pages. It's obviously those companies did exceptionally well for a while, stock price anyway. But I never could understand that if you went into Marshall Fields, because it was Marshall Fields at the time, that they would give you away the product and have banners all over the place, like basically in your face, directing you to go other places. It's like, we're giving away what we're doing, but that's okay because we're directing you somewhere else. The business model there never struck me as being very good.
No, it wasn't.
And it turned out it wasn't. And so now somewhere along the line, but when stocks are running up and your clients are saying, how come I'm not in them? That's a tough conversation. But I don't understand, to be honest, this Amazon situation. I love the fact that they're innovators in terms of distribution and so forth. But you know what? I'll bet they're not as good at it as Walmart. Because Walmart is really, really good at it. But say they are. I mean, at some point, when do you have to make a profit for people?
Well, I mean, that's another question entirely.
Yeah.
Amazon making profit is something I'm shocked that they're still not. They should be at this point, but I guess they're investing it in other places. I mean, I'm not up on the financials of Amazon other than to know they're not profitable.
But every Amazon shareholder that I've ever talked to, and by the way, they did better being in there than me not being in there, so it's not. I mean, John, how many times have you this conversation with someone? I'd say, what's the business model? Well, the business model is we're going to wreck all these other businesses, get our feet in the door, and one of these days, when we're all out of business, we're going to raise all the prices.
That's what Facebook did, right? Facebook didn't make money for years until they finally figured out how to make money on advertising.
No, but they're saying Amazon is going to essentially come in, put Steph, John, and Maddie Weber's store out of business, and when you're out of business, they're going to raise the prices up, which, of course, by the way, is illegal.
Right.
And every law of the books. But everybody assumes that that's what they're going to do. And it's okay, type of a thing. And, I don't know. When are they going to do that? Because I think right now there's...
The other thing, too, with them is they don't have the risk. Like, if you and I open a store with the inventory, for the most part, they don't have the risk of the inventory because you and I had set up a business within Amazon. That either sends them the inventory or the inventory runs out of your garage, or whatever. And the other thing with them too, that's a big business for them is their, content provider for entertainment. That's another, chunk of their business too. So they have a lot of different things going on. And I also think where it's different than some of these other stocks you're talking about, like a Facebook, because there's so many, different avenues they could grow in. I mean, now we've got,
They're in the grocery stores now.
The pharmaceutical, the groceries, and then the drugstore type things. So it could be endless, to be honest with you.
Well, but okay, but then I'm not like I got the fire hose out here and the nice fire, but we've seen people try and deliver groceries before. What's the margin? Right. In groceries, the margin's like what, 5% in groceries? 7%?
I think it's less than that.
Might be less than that. So Amazon comes from a business. Apple the same way. Apple, when they can sell a $1,000 smartphone, their margin's what, 65%? Some huge number, and all of a sudden Apple's going to get in, grocery delivery. That's five. Why?
Yeah, I didn't understand that play. To be honest,
why would anybody want to be in that business to start with? I mean, if it complements your other stuff, I guess I get it. And if you can get people into the Amazon Prime and to where they get so addicted they won't even look at any place else to buy something, I get it. But still, I mean, why would the guys from Apple ever want to be in the car business? I mean, what's the margin on a car? 10%? Not 60.
I think it's ego.
Well, that too, but I think the other thing we forget about is, I don't know what percentage, but a lot of this stuff is they don't have any inventory costs.
Right.
I mean, what a great business is to not, have an inventory cost. So if somebody else is paying for your inventory, if something sells, you get a percentage of it.
I'll give you a little history lesson. I mean, Mattie Weber was not around, I'm sure, when they went. There was a place in Chicago down where, right on Archer and State. There was a big kind of warehouse sort of thing with catalogs you wouldn't believe for automobiles.
Okay.
It was called Warshawski's. Have you ever heard the name? They were absolutely the Amazon and the Sears Roebuck when it came to cars. If you got the Warshawski catalog, the thing had to be 400 pages long. And everything you wanted in automobiles, if you lived in South Dakota or someplace, and if you called up Warshawski's, took the orders, because Audrey's friends worked there, if you wanted a new quarter panel for your 72 Jeep, you called these guys, and guess what? The quarter panel would ship from Joe's Jeep quarter panel in Texas to your place. They never touched it, came to your spot. It was Amazon all over the place in auto parts.
Right.
And, the concept of, and I bet you didn't pay any tax on it back then either. But then again, they never were that big, but in the same concept, and Amazon got away without paying taxes. And I think the company is great because it showed you what this stuff actually costs. I mean, if you go into some department stores, I know. Listen to my significant other tell me that some of the things that ladies buy, the creams and the makeup and so forth, it'll be $100 someplace, and online it's like $30. So you finally found out, Steph, how much they were making in the store you were buying it from, right?
Yep, or how much you could steal them and sell them for online.
there's a thought.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of that going on. Too, right?
Well, I wasn't talking to flea market or eBay. I would say, do you think it's happened on Amazon too?
Oh, it happens everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, they go into a big box store and they steal something and they post it on Amazon.
By the way, Chief, speaking of losses, Vegas took a huge hit last night with that football game.
Really?
The over-under was set before the game at 64, and it pretty much stayed at 64 at all the books, which was the highest over-under total since 1986, and one of the highest ever. And they shot past that by 41 points.
Wow.
And I think they hit the over in the third quarter and just shot by it. And 69% of all the money was on the over. And
really?
Vegas took a huge seven-figure loss last night in that one game.
Well, Manny, what was the game a week or two ago where somebody didn't cover? They could have, and they didn't kick the field goal. They just took a knee or something, or they didn't go in the end zone?
Yeah, Todd Gurley, actually, the Rams running back, in a game where the over would have hit and the Rams would have covered when they were kind of down the whole way, and all the favorite money was on the Rams and the over, and he could have walked into the end zone, and he just went down on purpose at the 5 just to run out the rest of the clock.
Did he have money in the game?
A lot of people asked him that, and he just said, I don't care about your fantasy stats. I don't care about your gambling. The right thing to do was to go down. We didn't want to give them the ball back, and the game was over. And so he went down.
Hey, he's right.
What did you think?
People were furious that either bet on the Rams, bet on the over, or had him on their fantasy team.
So, John, Steph, I'm going to ask you a real quick question. If you were to name one university in this country that's probably the ultimate place to go, which would it be? The high-end university in this country?
Harvard.
Ding, ding, ding.
That would be it.
What happened in
That's
Harvard?
That's what game? I was going to say, Harvard or Yale.
What happened in the Harvard game on Saturday, Matty?
I don't know. I think they played at Fenway, though, didn't they?
They played Yale someplace.
I think they played Yale at Fenway.
Well, they had a guy, a running back, who's running toward the end zone, and he's easily got the touchdown. What do you think he does?
Drops the ball before he crosses the goal line?
No. He turns around.
Stops and studies.
He turns around and flips off the guy chasing him. Now, if it would have happened in the end zone, it would have been taunting after the play. But since it happened during the play, it's taunting. It's a 15-yard penalty, and they called it back.
They call it back, exactly.
And they lost.
Yep.
That was the winning touchdown.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Can you imagine?
They really hate each other, Harvard and Yale.
Yeah, but still, how do you at least wait till the play's over. Know your rules enough to
cross the goal line, then flip them off.
John, you got 30 seconds. We're at 26-63 in the futures. Any place there a buy here or no? Wait till tomorrow.
Oh, I definitely prudence tells you to hold up a bit and see when we level out and see if we hold that support, though.
John, thank you very much. Steph, thank you very much. Matty, you too. All these people calling in. SP Futures down 33. Not good right now. We'll see you tomorrow morning if we got any better.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.